Ok, tu t'en rends compte, ok. Fair enough. Ok. Ok. Ok, إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So we're just going through, it's a summarized Bukhari, which is summarized by a scholar called Imam al-Zabidi. So it's obviously much shorter than the full Bukhari. And it's going through the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr, who's in Medina. He usually does his lesson after Fajr, so you possibly might have heard any of that. Okay, so this hadith is hadith number 20, and the chapter heading which Bukhari brings is what the Prophet ﷺ said, which was, "I know Allah better than all of you do." It's a summarization of what he said. So Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that whenever the Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the Muslims to do something, he used to order them with deeds which they would be able to do according to their ability. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, we are not like you. Allah has forgiven your past and future sins." So Allah's Messenger became angry, and it was apparent on his face. And then he said, "I am the most fearful of Allah, I have the most taqwa of Allah, and I know Allah better than all of you do." Okay. Inni atqakum wa a'lamukum billah. Sorry, inna atqakum wa a'lamukum billahi ana. Okay, indeed, I am the one who has the most taqwa of Allah, and I am the most knowledgeable of Allah. That was a statement of the Prophet. Okay. So just a point of detail that in the summary sometimes he misses out some bits in the chapter headings. So in the Bukhari, in the original Bukhari, it says وَأَنَّ الْمَعْرِفَةَ فِعْلُ الْقَلْبِ لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلَكِنْ يُؤَاخِذُكُمْ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. So Bukhari, the point he was making is that having knowledge is a deed or an action of the heart, due to Allah's statement, وَلَكِنْ يُؤَاخِذُكُمْ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. But Allah will take you to account for the deeds of your heart, okay, or for what your heart has earned, okay. So this is a point that obviously we do things in Islam, like we pray or we give sadaqah, or you know, we do hajj and umrah, which are physical things, or you say dhikr and so on, but the actions of the heart are also part of Islam, are very important. Okay, and that's the point he's trying to make here. So having knowledge and being aware of Allah, being conscious of Allah, this is part of Iman, and it's an action of the heart. Okay, and it's in fact the foundation, the basis of Islam is built on this starting point. And there's just a statement, it's a statement of the ulama or the salaf, "Man kana billahi a'raf kana minhu akhwaf." That the more you know Allah, the more you will revere Him or fear Him or be in awe of Him. Okay, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ana a'lamukum billah." Okay, that I am the most knowledgeable of Allah out of you. Okay, and this actually goes back to why Allah created the creation. Okay, so you probably, if you don't mind, that's here. So you probably know some proof or something which is mentioned. Why did Allah create the creation? Do you remember the ayahs, or do you know the reason behind the creation which is mentioned in? Yeah, exactly. So we're just saying that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, in fact, I can just go through it, otherwise you'll miss it. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he commanded the Muslims to do something, he would order them with that which they would be able to do according to their ability. And then they said, some of the companions, "Ya Rasulullah, we are not like you. Allah has forgiven your past and future sins." So Allah's Messenger became angry and it was clear on his face. And then he said, I am the most fearful of Allah. I have the most taqwa of Allah and I know Allah better than all of you. Okay. Okay. So we were just going on to, so what's the reason behind the creation, which you mentioned is to worship Allah, right? Yeah. Anything else or any proof for that or anything else connected to that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So, we have not, Allah says that that I did not create man or jinn except to worship me. Okay, so that's one aspect. Okay, but there's something else mentioned as well. And you probably know the surah actually already. There's another reason why Allah has created the creation. That's not the one I'm thinking of here. Well, not the one you mentioned. Again, that's not the point that the Sheikh thinks. Yeah, I mean all these things. I'm not saying they're all valid, but actually, since we're on the topic, is to have knowledge of Allah, right? So we have knowledge of Allah, and then we worship Him. So Allah has created all the creation. All the signs in the creation, the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of night and day, etc. So that we have knowledge of Allah, and therefore we worship Him. And the two things are together. So the ayah that you mentioned, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So Allah says that I did not create the jinn or mankind except to worship Allah alone. Okay. But the second one is in, I think this is Surah Talaq, if I remember right. اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنْ يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنْ لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. So Allah is the one who created the seven heavens and the earth, the like of them, seven earths. His command comes down amongst them so that you may know that Allah has power over all things and that He has encompassed everything with knowledge. So Allah has created the heavens and the earth, and His command has come down and so on, so that you know that Allah has power over all things and He has knowledge. So you, from that, you gain some knowledge about Allah. Okay? And also, then the next step is that we therefore worship Allah. Okay? That makes sense? Yeah. And just as a side point, that goes back to the idea of Tawheed. So we have Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and the Uluhiyyah, that Tawheed, that Allah is the one Rabb, He's the one creator, and that therefore we worship Him alone. Okay? Yeah. Okay. So then the Prophet ﷺ said that he said, I am the most knowledgeable of you about Allah. Okay? So that shows that when the Prophet talks about Allah or about any aspect of the religion, then we submit to that. That's the trump, as it were. That takes precedence. Okay. And so anything that you might not understand initially, or your rationality doesn't quite comprehend, or you might say that, oh, something like that, you know, doesn't fit with the latest science or whatever it might be, that's all secondary. We accept the Prophet statement above anything else, okay? And actually, the sound, correct intellect, or the correct way of thinking will never, if your intellect is correct and not sort of spoilt, as it were, then you'll never find any conflict with your understanding and your intellect and what the Prophet said. You'll accept it. And the Sheikh mentioned a hadith, for example, that it says the hadith where Allah descends to the lowest heaven in the last third of the night. And then, so some people might say, well, how does that happen? Or how does this, you know, they ask all sorts, and they start rationalizing, and they go into all sorts of philosophy. It's just forget that. It's just not worth it. Okay. Okay. So that's what we can understand from that statement. And then the point which Bukhari was making was that having knowledge is an action of the heart. Okay. And we should strive for that. So just as we strive for all the other things, in Islam, we strive to pray and fast, charity, Umrah, Hajj, you know, whatever it might be, having a kind word, being good to your parents. But we should also strive and make effort to increase in our knowledge of Allah and to increase in our knowledge of Islam. And in that way, that itself is a very important good deed, which is based in the heart. So studying the Quran, the Sunnah, memorizing studying the explanations of the people of knowledge and so on. Okay. And then, وَلَكِنْ يُؤَاخِذُكُمْ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Again, that's the ayah which Bukhari was mentioning, that Allah will take you to account with regards to the what your hearts have earned. Okay? So as I said, all of these things, the actions of the heart, the dhikr you make, you know, verbally, and the actions of your, you know, which you physically do. Okay? And this is a branch of Iman in the heart. And that doesn't mean that Iman is only limited. That is just a technical point. So that doesn't mean we shouldn't understand from what Bukhari says that Iman is only in the heart. Okay, so Iman encompasses all of these things: the heart, the tongues, and the limbs. And there were some groups who said that, but that's obviously not correct. Okay. Okay, so that's really a summary of what the main point of a hadith. Can you think of any other actions of the heart? So I mentioned about having knowledge of the heart. Having knowledge of Allah, etc., which is what the Bukhari mentioned. Any other actions of the heart or things which are important for the heart to have? And there are lots of them. But, anything that we should be aware of and we should be trying to improve or trying to have more of?
Taqwa.
Yeah, taqwa, exactly. And do you know an incidence when the Prophet indicated that taqwa is in the heart? No, there's. I mean, you might have heard that. Already. No, this is sort of something very simple that Prophet did. Yeah, you have heard of that? It's maybe a bit obscure.
No, but that is tawakkul.
Taqwa, taqwa, just taqwa. Taqwa, you said, is exactly right. It's an action of the heart. Obviously, it affects everything you do, but.
Camel,
that's tawakkul, you think it's called
taqwa.
Taqwa. So taqwa is they call it having fear or consciousness of Allah. Okay. There's a scholarly definition where it says that to summarize that you do that which is you do what Allah has commanded you to do upon the knowledge that is from Allah, hoping for his reward. And you stay away from what Allah has forbidden you from, again based on knowledge of Islam, fearing Allah's punishment. Okay. And there's also a nice statement of one of, I think, the companions. He said that imagine that there was a path which had lots of thorns or, you know, things on the ground. So then you'd be very careful about what you do. So it's kind of like that concept. Yeah. So taqwa, yeah. So there's a nice hadith where the Prophet pointed to his chest, to the heart, and said, taqwa ha huna. That taqwa is here in the heart. Okay?
When you're all alone and you still fear Allah and not to get involved in that, you need to suffer.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, actually, there's so many deeds in the heart you can talk about, yeah. But there's another nice hadith, and it was to do with, again, hopefully you might have heard the hadith, when there was a man who saw the Prophet kissing his children. Do you know what he said in that hadith?
Kiss
yeah, exactly. So he was surprised and he said, oh, you kiss your children. I never kiss my children. So do you know what the Prophet said?
What can I say about a man to whom Allah hasn't given any love or something like that?
Yeah, words to that effect. So what can I do if Allah has removed mercy from your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's in your heart, the mercy which it stems from your heart. Yeah. And then that hadith which you the other about taqwa. Taqwa hahuna, that taqwa is here, and he pointed three times to his heart or chest. So we have to pay attention to the affairs of the heart, okay? Now this, the next point is to do with the actual issue that happened, okay? So that the Prophet would give commands to people that they should do X, Y, and Z, and you would do what was appropriate for them. And then some of the companions, and this is probably a famous incident, but they said, look, the Prophet, he's like, Allah's forgiven all his sins, past and future, and everything. We're not the same. So so we want to do, basically, they wanted to do more. Okay. They wanted to go beyond that. Okay. And there are other narrations where one of them said, you know, I will fast every day. Another one said, I'll not get married. Another one said, I'll pray every night, you know, the whole night in prayer, whatever it was. So then the Prophet became, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, became angry, and you could see that anger on his face. He would become angry for Allah's sake, obviously. And then he said, "I am the one who fears Allah the most, and I know Allah better than all of you do." Okay? So the Prophet, he was very concerned to give the best command or the best advice to all of us, to the companions and all of us by extension. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ There has certainly come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves. It is heavy upon him that you might suffer or have difficulty in any way. He is concerned over you, and to the believers, he is kind and merciful. So he's the best, the most, you know, has the most concern and the best, most knowledge and the best guidance for us to follow. Okay. So what he says, again, is his advice, his statement is the most correct. We have to accept and fully, you know, fully accept what he says. He is a'lam and atqa. He's the most knowledge. His knowledge is the best knowledge. And his actual practice, his taqwa, is actually the best as well. So his implementation is all the best, is the best. So we can't do better than what he said. So if he gave a command to do X, Y, and Z, we can't improve on that. Okay? Can't come up with something better. So we should never come up with a concept or an idea or an argument or a proposition saying, you know, that this is a better way of doing things. Okay. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasulihi wattaqullaha innallaha samiun alim. That's Surah Hujurat. Oh, you have believed, do not put yourselves before Allah and His Messenger, but fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing. So from, and this is a statement of I think the scholars and so on, from Allah is the message. Upon the messenger is to convey, and upon us is to submit. Okay? So this is all connected to the whole idea of innovation and trying to change Islam or go one step further. So if someone comes along and says, well, you know, we want to do this extra thing or this extra ibadah or extra thing in Islam, whatever it might be, in light of that hadith, what are we implying about the Prophet? If someone comes along and say, okay, well, I want to make a thing of doing this kind of special prayer or this kind of special celebration or which the Prophet and companions didn't do. So in light of the hadith, what are they implying about the Prophet? Exactly, yeah.
That's, of course, inadequate, which
Yeah.
might be asked so that, well, his message is exactly what Allah has commanded. We're saying what Allah has commanded.
Yeah. So basically there's a problem with what he told us,
It didn't been complete.
or he didn't give the message. He didn't give a complete message. Yeah. So that's why, I mean, this is not what Sheikh Abdul Razak didn't mention this point, but other scholars mention it as well. That if someone comes along and tries to add something or come along with some improvement or go a step further, it's some deficiency in the Prophet's knowledge or in the message. There's some shortfall in it, or there's some deficiency in the Prophet conveying the message that he knew that but he didn't tell us, but you know better, sort of thing. So that's why it's a very serious matter. I think that's it, really. Yeah. So yeah, that's it. Any questions at all?